Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning, Christ United. First of all, Kenzie, that was awesome. Girl, did she do good? I'm serious. We got a new preacher there. All right, so if God has been good to you, I want you to give him what he deserves right now. Come on. Yeah. Right. You can feel it, man. God is moving so powerfully. We're so glad that you're here today. We're in the last of a series that's called Unconnected Friends, moving into a series that's called Forgiven. Is there anything that God won't forgive? Because here's where we are. We are now really giving you an opportunity for people you love deeply to actually help introduce them to the truth that will change their lives forever. And that's what we're doing over the next 3 weeks, is we're partnering with you to reach the people that you love for Jesus. Somebody may be here today and you're here as a guest of someone. Somebody invited you here. I want to tell you, it's the highest compliment that anybody could ever pay you, that they've invited you here. It means they love you. It means that they deeply desire for you to know the love and the grace that they have found in Jesus. And so for you to be invited, just take it as probably the greatest gift that anybody could give you as they brought you here. But listen, we're going to be talking to everybody here, including those of you who are first-time guests, about the possibility that God might could do something over these next 3 weeks in the life of somebody that you love deeply. And so in order to get started on that, we're going to go back and remember. So if you weren't here, it's going to be simple for you to just kind of reflect back with the rest of us on what we've shared over these last 5 weeks. The first thing that we did is we talked about being the best friend ever. We said that John the Baptist said it was like a man who's a best man, or like a woman who is a maid of honor. Whenever the bride and the groom get together, that best man is like sight. It's like, that's my joy, is to see the bride and the groom love each other. And it's the same way when you love Jesus and you come into a relationship with God through his son Jesus, the greatest joy you'll ever experience is to watch somebody you love fall in love with him. And watch them come to know the depth of his love. It's the greatest thing that can happen in your life as a believer, is to see somebody come to that love. You don't want them to love you. You want them to love him. And so we're going to want to help you make that happen. We want to see that happen in your life. We want every person in here to have the joy of people you love coming into a relationship with the God who will change their forever. So as you look in your, on your way in, I hope you picked up a little pack of these invitational cards. Hold them up if you got one. Wow, very few of you got them. You got to get them on your way out. Just look around at somebody near you who may have one in their hand. On your way out, please grab them. Matter of fact, I'm going to get the ushers to just grab them and make sure you hand them out on the way out, okay? So if y'all just make sure people have those on the way out. But here's the deal, guys. Is that those invitational cards and what you're going to learn from the book of John chapter 4 today are going to really be some powerful tools in your hands to reach people that you love. Now, the next week, we talked about what your first step is. It was the first step that Jesus said to his disciples when he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. He was moved to his gut, like saying, oh, they need the love of God so much. First thing he said to his disciple was, pray. I want you to be praying. And it's the first thing that Paul, one of the teachers and writers of the New Testament, said to a young man who was seeking to lead people to God. He said, first of all, pray. It's the first thing that you want to do is pray, because God is going to move in answer to those prayers in the lives of people. And so you've been praying, many of you. How many of you have been praying for some unconnected friends that you care about, friends or family members or others? That's awesome. There are like 3,000 names written on banners down here of people that you and others in this congregation and others throughout the state are praying for. Well, here's what happens is you will notice this having happened. As soon as you began to pray, God started putting in your heart what's in His heart. Now, the story we're talking about today, you're probably familiar with the story. If not, Jesus was going from Judea to Galilee, and He had to pass through Samaria. And some say that they really felt like the Holy Spirit was just moving Jesus, like He had to be there, you know. But He was going through Samaria, and that's an area where the people of Samaria were generally hated by the Jews and seen as being unclean, impure people. But He had gone through Samaria, sat down by the well of Jacob, and as He was just outside of a city called Sychar, and there was a woman there who had come to draw water in the middle of the day. And He said to her, "Give me some of the water," you know. And she said, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink of water?" Because the Jews don't even speak to Samaritans. And already Jesus was taking an interest in her that she totally did not expect. Already Jesus was establishing relationship with her, but she thought He would not even want. Jesus had a deep interest in her, and within a very short period of time, Jesus knew more about her. He knew things even that she wasn't saying. He was so intent on listening to her and caring about her. And so He knew her physical desires and needs, her need for the water and her desire to not have to come back and draw water. He knew about her family life, which was a mess. She had been married 5 times and was living with a guy who was not married to her. And He knew about that mess, and He knew about the junk in her life. And He also knew within a short period of time what she believed about God and what her hopes were in her spiritual life. And guess what God has begun to do for you if you've been praying for people, is He's begun to give you that same kind of heart to listen to the hearts of other people, to care about what they think, to care about what they desire and what they need. And so if you've found yourself starting to care about what people you go to school with, or people in your neighborhood, or people you work with, or people you've been praying for, if you found you have started to love them and care about them and care about what they think and care about what they feel and care about their desires, it's because God has begun to put in your heart what's in His heart. Now listen, if that hasn't happened yet, I'm going to encourage you to start praying today. Anybody in your life that you know who does not have a relationship with God, that's going to give them a life that will never end, begin to pray for them and watch God begin to put that into your heart, and you'll begin to care that same way. Well, the next week we went on to talk about the unconnected family, and everybody here has family members that have not yet given their lives to Christ. And as you've prayed for them and cared for them, God showed us during that sermon that with family members, often we've already said all we can say, and God can use our behavior more than our words after that point. And by your behavior, you tried to love some unconnected family members, and you've tried to show them the love of God, but now you're asking the question, but how do I get to them now? And what can I do? And again, this invitation and the opportunity that you're going to have over the next 3 weeks is going to be a great opportunity for some family members that you love, just as it is for all those that you're praying for. And what you learn from what this woman that Jesus is talking to did as soon as she came to know Jesus is going to show you exactly what you can do to make an impact in their lives. Now, the next week we move from those family members, and Steve preached a phenomenal message about how these 4 friends had a friend who had a physical need for physical healing because he was paralyzed, but also had a need he wasn't even aware of, and that was the need for his sins to be forgiven and for him to come into a relationship with the God who created him. And these friends were so desperate to get their friend to Jesus that they dug a hole in the roof and lowered Jesus through that hole in the roof. And Jesus told us through Steve that day that we need to have that same kind of passion for our lost friends, to do whatever it takes to get them to Jesus. And so you maybe have a friend like that who has a need. It might be their family is in a mess, or they might be in an addiction, or they might have financial struggles, or they might have physical illness. But whatever it is, they need to get to the God who loves them and know that He's there for them. And God's wanting to give you a chance to reach out to them. And they desperately need, above everything else, a relationship, a love relationship with the Father who created them. And God's saying to you, this invitation opportunity over these next 3 weeks is going to be a great chance for you to do what it takes to get them here. And this invitational card is not like digging a hole in a roof, but it is a powerful way for you to help get a friend here in the next few weeks. Now, I want to say, as I talk about the next few weeks, every week we invite people to a relationship with Jesus here, and it's beautiful and powerful how God moves. The next 3 weeks, though, there's a special emphasis, and you're going to hear more about it in the sermon, but there's a special emphasis in us focusing on sharing the gospel with people in a way that can truly transform lives. So these are going to be three special weeks, and we want you to be able to be a part of that. Now, the next week, as we were going through and we were talking about our unconnected friends, we talked about the fact that Jesus said it wasn't the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And He said that because He was spending time with people who were far from God, and the religious folks were criticizing Him for being around these sinful people. Well, Jesus said, look, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. And I've come not to call the righteous, but sinful people to repentance. And so He was saying, I want to reach out to people who need My love. And we learned that people who are surprised by the fact that He loves them, surprised by the invitation, are often most responsive to that invitation. And so for you right now, you may have had somebody in mind who would think that, man, the church would fall in if the roof would cave in if I walked into a church building. They just think that they're not a person who would be loved by God. And you're a person who knows, wait a minute, if God can love me, He can certainly love you. If He can forgive somebody like me, I know He can forgive you. And with that heart in mind, God's put some folks on your mind that you want to reach out to who themselves don't even expect that God would love them or want them. And He's saying, I want you to move them from the bottom of your list to the top. We said that day that there are many people that are on the bottom of our list or off of our list that God wants to be moved to the top of our list. Guess what? This is exactly what we find in this story from John chapter 4 today. This woman would have never expected that Jesus would want anything to do with her just by the fact that He was a Jew, much less if He was the Messiah. And yet she was at the top of His list. She was more important than anything else to Jesus was to get to this woman. And there's somebody in your life like that. And this opportunity for you to invite them, especially the person who will be surprised that you would even think about them, is going to be a person who's going to have a huge impact in their life that you've invited them. And what He's going to do for them, you're going to see what God did for some of the people that this woman reached out to. Now, all that kind of sets the background for this reality. And the reality is that God's called you to reach out to some people and love some people and maybe love and reach out to some people that religious folks would not even consider being worthy. And when I say religious folks, Christians, folks who are followers of Christ, aren't practicing just religion and going through the motions of rules and self-righteousness. But when we get religious, we get just self-righteous and pious, and we wonder why in the world would somebody want something to do with folks who are far from God. Jesus had a desperate passion for people far from God, and He wanted us to have that same passion. Well, having had this conversation, He was having a conversation with this woman at the well who was surprised that Jesus would be talking to her, and His disciples returned. It's in verse 27 that we find this. Just then His disciples returned and were surprised to find Him talking with a woman. They had gone into town to buy food, okay? So they were surprised to find Him talking with a woman, but no one asked, what do you want and why are you talking with her? They weren't going to dare ask that question. Now, first I want to say this, that there right there is the perfect example of the heart of Jesus. He was way more concerned about her salvation than His own reputation. He didn't care about the potential of her rejection. He didn't care about anything else. He just cared about her and her salvation. I just want to ask you if you would let God do something for you in this moment. He is here. He is in this place. And the people that we're talking about right now are people that he deeply and dearly loves. And what if you allow him to start raising in your heart the same feeling he has for them? To where he cares much more about them and about their relationship with him and about their salvation and their freedom and their forgiveness. He cares way more about that than he does about your reputation, my reputation, anything that might be considered as rejection from somebody. Those aren't even on the radar. Just let him lift up into your heart the same feeling he had toward this woman. Well, here's what happened next. Then, leaving her jar of water, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." Now, I just want to stop right there and say this. When she went back, imagine that she's just encountered Jesus and she's like blown away by the experience of being in his presence and him revealing to her things about herself that she didn't even know. And all she did was just go back and say, "Come and see. I just want you to come and see." This invitation, if you'll notice, if you've got one, on that invitation, it says, "Come and see." And on the flip side of it, it says, "Come sit with me." I want you to know that all this woman did was say, "Look, I've just had an encounter. I want you to come back and see. I want you to see what this guy had the power to do for me." Now listen. How many people here, I want an honest response. How many people here have been at Christ United for more than one Sunday? You've been here for more than one Sunday. Now, put your hands back down. I want you to be honest. Have you ever failed to experience God in this place? When you've come into this place, how many people, every single time you come, you experience God doing something in your life that you needed done? Anybody besides me? Look at that. Look at the hands. Week in and week out, he continues to show up and he continues to move in the lives of people in that way. And when you go back and you're going to people who themselves are not yet in a relationship with God, and all you're saying to them is, "Look, I want you to know that week in and week out, for some reason, God just, regardless of where I am, you know what I'm saying? Regardless of what's going on in my life, week in and week out, God seems to know what I need. And he just meets me right where I need him every single week." Now, honestly, how many people can say that honestly? He just seems to do that, right? He seems to do that. He seems to meet my need week in and week out, and he seems to speak to me about things I need to be spoken to about. He seems to say things I need to hear, right? Now, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand in just a second. I'm going to ask you to lift a hand if honestly you believe that when you're in this place, there's something about how God moves here among his people that really touches you in a special way and makes you glad you were here and wish you could be back again because he's touching you. How many people experience that? Raise your hand. Now, look at that. Now, here's what he's saying to you. When it comes to this invitation, all you're saying to somebody is this: "Hey, man, I know you know I love my church." You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know you know that, but I want you to come and see why. I just want you to come and sit with me and see why. And what you're going to realize is the why is not because of the praise team, and it's not because of the pastor, and it's not because of the building. The reason why is every time we get together like this, God shows up and touches me where I need to be touched. He knows my heart better than I know my own heart. This woman all of a sudden realized he knows things about me that I don't. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, he's telling me my life story here. And how many people have ever heard this? You hear a sermon. I don't care who preached it. But you hear a sermon and you go like, "Somebody's been reading my mail," right? Have you ever had that experience? Somebody's been reading my mail. My wife has been talking to the preacher. I know it, right? Hadn't you had that experience? And here's the why. It's because God knows your heart. And he knows what you need to hear. And he knows how to take even the mouth of a donkey and speak to you, right? It could be Elmer Fudd up here, but if the Holy Spirit was working, Wascally Wabbit, he'll get to you, right? The reality is God's saying, I want you to simply say to somebody else, you wonder why I love my church so much. I want you to come and see. I just want you to sit with me and see if it's true for you like it is for me. That God just seems to move and seems to give me what it is that I need to hear in that moment. Now, if you would send out that little invitation to come and see and come and sit with me, I want you to know what happens week in and week out here, which is why we believe this is true. Why, when you walk in here, God speaks in such a powerful way. One is this. Jesus said, when two or three come together in my name, I'm with them. That's the number one reason, is he is here. The number two reason is this. Is this sanctuary and this ministry of this church and the Unite Center are prayed over. People walk up and down these aisles and just pray over this place during the week. And we want to invite you to come and do it. You just come and just walk through here and pray and ask God to move. But the whole prayer ministry team and you and many of the staff are going to be walking through here over these 3 weeks and putting a special focus on saying, God, touch every life who comes into this place. Now, would you tune in for just a second? Let me ask you this question. Who do you love enough that you're thinking, man, if God has been moving this powerfully in this place over the years or months or weeks that I've been here, what in the world is it going to be like when there's just a special focus of prayer and intentionality about people who need to know his love for the first time? My goodness, I want somebody to be here. Do you know somebody you want to be here right now? Whether a family member or a person far from God, somebody you've been praying for, you've got an invitation and an opportunity to get them here. Now, here's what she said. She said, could this be the Messiah? And what is so powerful about that statement when she says, could this be the Messiah, is she herself is still kind of like getting it figured out. You know what I'm saying? Like, he might be, you know what I'm saying? I mean, really am thinking this might be the one. And you might be waiting and you might be thinking, before I can share the gospel with somebody else, before I can tell somebody else to man, you really need to know him, I got to get it all figured out and I got to have all the answers and I got to be able to answer their questions. No, all you got to be able to do is say, I think this might be the one. You know, I mean, I just want you to know that the way he speaks to me and what he's been doing to me has been making me feel like he might be the answer to my everything. I want you to come and check it out and see if that might be true for you, right? Because God is here and he wants to move in and through you. Then they came out of the town and made their way toward him. The truth is, it's like the whole town, it seemed like, started moving their way toward him. Do you understand that this woman's simple witness had enormous power? Her simple statement, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. What a simple and powerful thing. And I want to tell you that God can use yours in the same way. You know I love my church. Come sit with me and see why. Because I really believe that God just moves. And I believe he'll move. And I believe you'll be so glad you came. Would you come and sit with me? Now, after that, the disciples, having returned, they urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Would you please hear this? It's so important. These disciples were focused on what you and I focus on almost all the time, which is just Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know what I'm saying? Until my physical needs met, I'm not going to think about anything else. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. I'm just constantly thinking about eating, and I'm thinking about bills, and I'm thinking about stuff. I'm thinking about fixing the sink, or I'm thinking about cutting the grass or washing the dishes, or I'm thinking about getting the project done, or I'm thinking about getting the paper written. Does anybody besides me know what I'm talking about? Our life becomes consumed by things that ultimately don't matter. We become so consumed and so wrapped up in that stuff that we don't even see and notice the more eternal, significant things happening around us. So here is this woman, precious to God, far from God, at a point in her life where she would think God could not even love her. And Jesus is saying she's becoming aware that the God of heaven loves her. She's becoming aware that I am the one who can bring that change in her life, and you're asking me about eating lunch? You are kidding me. I don't even care. He says, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? We are so dense, right? We are so dense. And but he says this, my food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. His thing was, my food right now, you know what fills me up? It's to do what God's doing. The Father right now is reaching out to this precious woman and got a whole town full of people that desperately need to know his love. I don't even want to think about eating right now. I want you to begin to realize that there's something bigger here. And my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What if you were to have 3 weeks of your life? What if for the next 3 weeks, God were to do this miraculous shift within you that all of a sudden the things that matter stopped mattering and the things that really matter began to matter to you? What if you thought less about your next Big Mac or your next, mac and cheese or whatever it is that you got on your mind? What if instead of thinking about the projects, instead of thinking about the grass, instead of thinking about the dishes, what if instead of every single moment of every day when you're surrounded by people at work and at school and wherever you go, what about if instead of worrying about the gas that you're pumping or worried about the appointment you're late for, what if you were really, like Jesus, consumed with a hunger for the lives and hearts of people far from God? What if you were just tuned into that? And what if you were hungry to do his will? Would it change something radically over the next 3 weeks? I guarantee you it would. If you woke up every day and you said, God, today I want my food to be do the will of you who sent me and to finish your work. I just want that to be my food today. What if you were to do this? What if you were to this week say, God, every time my stomach begins to growl, every time I begin to get hungry, I'm going to let that be a reminder to me to look around at what's really important. That's kind of what happens next. Jesus said, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Jesus says, look, now, and most commentators say that they believe that the Samaritans, it already says in the scripture, were on their way out to meet him. And he's just saying, just open your eyes, look. There's a harvest of people here who desperately need God. I promise you, if you'll open your eyes where you work, if you'll open your eyes at your school, if you'll open your eyes in your neighborhood, if you'll open your eyes at the beach, if you just open your eyes wherever you are, God would say, open your eyes and look. The field is ripe for harvest. Don't you understand? There are so many who desperately need me. And they're all around you. In the water while you're surfing, they're at the mall while you're shopping, they're at the desk where you're working, they're walking the streets in your neighborhood, they're all around you. Open your eyes and look. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and the harvest a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Jesus is saying a powerful statement. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I have sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. He's saying, look, there are all these people who are ready now to come into a relationship with God. And John the Baptist had done a lot and the prophets had done a lot and others had done a lot. But now you guys are going to get to see the harvest. You're going to get to see people say yes to me and see their lives forever changed. God's saying that to you right now. He's saying you're not the only one who's been trying to reach this person. They've had grandparents praying for them. They've had people sowing into their lives. They probably received 30 or 40 invitations to church from somebody at some point. You know what I'm saying? Whatever the case may be, there's been a lot of work done, but you're going to get to see the benefits of that. And for others of you, you'll be sowing seeds and you won't see the benefit of what you've sown. But the fact that you love somebody enough to say, I want you to sit with me, is going to plant a seed in their heart. And there's going to be a coming of time down the road when somebody's going to reap that harvest. And your heart and their heart are both going to be glad because you're going to be a part of it. How many people here would just be willing to be a part of that? He's saying, look, there are people right now who desperately need me and they want me and the work's already been done, and you can be the one that just reaches out and say, come on, come and join me. I believe God may very well speak to your heart in a way that's really going to bless you. Now, if God moves and you reap the harvest that others have worked for, or if you plant seeds that somebody else is going to reap a harvest for, either way, you're both going to be glad. The one who sows and the one who reaps are going to be glad together. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. All she did was say, let me just tell you what he did for me. And all you have to do is say, I don't know why, but it seems like when I show up in this environment, week in and week out, God says to my heart what I need to hear. Just like this woman was saying, he just knew me. He knew me. He cared about me. Now, that having been said, God used that powerfully, and many people believed just because of that simple testimony. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And then they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Guys, I can't tell you how many times it's happened in this place. You are surrounded by people who were invited at some time. You yourself were likely invited at some time by somebody when you had given excuses why you couldn't come. For invitation after invitation after invitation, you finally showed up into a place of worship, whether this one or another one, and Jesus was there, and he spoke to you, and all of a sudden you found yourself ultimately coming to the conclusion, I don't believe just because of what you said. Now, I've experienced it for myself. And the people that you invite are going to have that same experience. They're going to come to believe it for themselves. In fact, very likely, they will believe it more passionately than you do. They will come to a place where they go, man, I want everybody I know to know this. Because God's spoken to my heart, and he's shown me his love for me. All right, now, that having been said, I want to give you this enormous encouragement that God has given you a 3-week opportunity, and I want you to take advantage of every single minute of it. First, I want to tell you something about invitations, okay? Invitations to come to worship, back starting 20 years ago. Matter of fact, a book was written by a guy named Tom Rainer, and Tom wrote a book called The Unchurched Next Door, and this was only 10 years ago that he wrote this book, and he had stats in that book that were just shocking. They are no longer true. But back in that day, it was like he said 85% of people would seriously consider coming to church if somebody would just invite them. That stat had gone down to about 65% within a few years following that. And now, you know what that stat is? 47%. So right now, under half of the people that you are around would even consider coming to church because somebody invites them. Have you noticed that for about the past 30 years that everything on television and everything that's done, anytime in a movie, anytime on primetime TV, anytime Christians are represented, they're represented in a negative light? Have you noticed that you're in a political environment that makes it so that church has now moved from being the thing that you at least ought to do, should do, want to do, even though you don't, to being something that, in the eyes of many people, is something that, no, you shouldn't do because that's where all the bigots live, right? So you and I are facing a cultural context in which the invitation is being less and less acceptable. Now, here's what this means for you. Do you see that dramatic shift in 10 years from 85% to 47%? Do you realize what an urgency there is for you to get to the heart of people you love before this wicked, evil, the very Satan who desires them to be in hell with him forever, before all the efforts that enemy is making to try to turn their heart against the God who loved them, against the God who created them, against the God who gave his son to die for them, do you realize that there is a spiritual battle going on for the souls of those that you love, and you haven't got time to be sitting back waiting? You haven't got time to be sitting back just saying, oh, well, one day I'll invite them. One day I'll reach out to them. A stat that Rainer stated that probably is accurate today, as it was back then, as a matter of fact, maybe even more so. He said that 7 out of 10 unchurched people have never had anyone invite them to church. Is that a scary thought? But what does that say about the people that you've got on your list and in your mind? 7 out of 10 people that you have around you who have never been to church, who are unchurched, have never had anybody invite them to church. And do you know that he said only 2 out of every 100 Christians will invite somebody to church in a year? And so here's where that puts you and puts me. Is right now there are hundreds of thousands, there are tens of thousands of people living in the community that you, in the area where you can drive within 15 minutes of your house, there are tens of thousands of people who would be open to an invitation. And having received that invitation, how many people know if they just showed up one time, God would speak to them in such a way that they'll be forever changed, whether they come back or not? How many people believe that to be true? Do you believe that to be true? If they come into the presence of a living God and God moves, I guarantee you. So here's the thing. I'm telling you that it is imperative that we do it and do it now. It's imperative that we reach out and say, I want you to know him. And guys, we're going to have other opportunities to invite to other things, like Together in Christ yesterday was awesome. And we get together and we go out and serve the community. There are going to be lots of other opportunities for you to invite your friends to things that aren't in here on Sunday morning. And sometimes that's an easier step for people to take. We got a great website that's being launched tomorrow, and you can send them to the website. And there's so much they can learn. How many people know this, though? In the context of worship, God moves in a way that you just don't experience outside of the gathering of his people. Do you know what I'm talking about? Next 3 weeks, I want to issue a challenge. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. I'm going to ask you to fast for the next 3 weeks. No, I'm teasing. Bunch of skinny people inviting people to church. Wouldn't that be great? I am seriously going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to skip a meal. And I'm going to ask you that during that meal, and I want to ask you to skip that meal within the next 2 days. A meal that you would normally eat. Don't be one of those cheaters, all right? I want to ask you to skip a meal that you would normally eat within the next 2 days. And instead of eating during that time, that you would say, God, would you let me for the next 3 weeks care more about lost people than I do filling my stomach? Would you let my food be to do your will? And God, would you show me every person I need to be in extending an invitation to? And my extending that invitation, if they say no, that is perfectly fine. If you give them an invitation and they say no, that's just one more seed planted in their life that says somebody cares and somebody loves them. And somebody else will reap the benefit of that. That sound fair? And I want to ask for a show of hands. Is there anybody here who would just join with me in this and just say, sometime in the next 2 days, I'm going to skip a meal that I would normally eat, and I will spend the time that I would normally spend eating praying for God to use me over the next 3 weeks to reach out to people far from God and invite them to maybe encounter the God that would change their forever? Who would join me in that? Keep it up high. Keep it up high. Now look around so you'll know if you see these people eating at McDonald's. No. It's just whenever God puts it on your heart, you're going to do it in the next 3 days. Lord God, would you do something for us? Would you give us the same heart that you have? Would you put in our heart what's in yours? And would you make us as passionate for lost people as you are? And Lord God, would you allow us the privilege of just saying to somebody, you matter to me. Come and see. Come sit with me and see if God doesn't touch you in a beautiful way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you, if you would, that if you haven't done so yet, that you would find your way to this altar before this last song is over and just fall on your knees for everybody you've been praying for and say, God, would you, over these next 3 weeks, give me the chance to extend an invitation to them, and would you, by your Holy Spirit, use that to draw them to yourself? So we invite you today, if you hadn't already come to this altar to pray for your unconnected friend, that you would do that before you leave. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.